I'd like to continue with the same format that Jack has, that is audience participation, and in the same vein, subject-wise, that we were in this morning, talking about personal evangelism. And in order to facilitate that, I'd like to have a little help in passing out some questions. There's enough here for everybody to have one, I think. I didn't get them divided very evenly there. And I do have a few more if there aren't enough, but I think you've got enough there. I'd like to keep the same. Yeah, I'm glad I kept one for myself. Keep the same format as this morning, in that I'd like for anybody who wishes to participate publicly in this to go ahead and speak up. These are questions that we might think about regarding our evangelism of the people around us in the world. And rather than just proceed through these, we undoubtedly won't have time to talk about all of them, and perhaps all of them aren't even worthy to be talked about on this occasion. But there may be a few that you think are especially germane. So I'd like to have you, when you receive the sheet, read down through that, and I kept them all on one side here just to make it a little easier, on one side of the sheet. Thanks, Jack. Thank you, Tom. Everybody got one that wants one? Just read down through those, and when you find a question that you'd like to discuss with us this afternoon, just go ahead and say out the number of that question. We'll talk about your question. I know this is hitting you on the spur of the moment. You haven't had a chance to see these ahead, but I...
Kind of what
it is.
We were talking this morning, and the prodigal son, it's so obvious they hate the message.
Right.
And I find it easier to talk to the group that definitely knows they're wrong, and like you said, I'm basically a good guy. You know?
Right.
The Lord would just have to accept me.
Let me read that question for all of us to hear. Number two, is it harder to reach the prodigal son type or the elder brother type? This is referring to the 15th chapter of Luke, where we have that story that's well familiar to you. How might we reach each? Is the flagrantly immoral sinner more likely to discover his need quicker than the self-satisfied, self-righteous person who tries to live morally and thinks God will accept me because I'm basically good? Anybody want to comment on that question? Parenthetically here, I asked Jeff if he wanted to talk this afternoon, and he declined, so I thought this might be a way of encouraging his more informal participation. Please feel very free, but yet not compelled, Jeff, as well as all the rest of you. Anybody want to talk about number two further than Ed has? Is that...
Seems to be the theme of that group that has the multicolored house that is the Lawrence. They're proclaiming peace, but it seems that they would be a little bit more difficult, perhaps, to reach because they think that they're doing right than somebody that knows they're doing wrong.
Yeah. There's truth in that. It's often easier to have conversation with the second type here, but not easier to reach them necessarily. Jane.
Well, I think sometimes if a person feels like he is full of sin, it's hard for him to believe that God can really redeem him.
There is that. And that's what those songs Ed led were about. Ed, go ahead.
Yeah, I've studied the Bible with both, and I don't know what to say to the self-righteous. I really don't. It's like they need a slap from somebody other than me.
Yeah.
Or God's word.
A dose of Matthew 23.
Yeah.
But the Lord was in a position that I don't feel like I'm in. Yeah. I hear you. Well put. Thank you. Yeah, Cheryl.
As the guy I work with, there's another person in the system that is printing it, and he suddenly jumped out and got cancer. And Mike was talking to him, and he said, "Are you saved?" And these are the things that somehow our age group, it does hit home a lot more as the kind of life we live, because we all kind of think we're going to live forever, and then you get into that age group like we're in. And it's not so...
Who's we, Sherry?
I haven't been. You know, either you have an illness or you just old age creeps up on you. And
yep.
You can't sell the bottle of tea because nobody's interested in seeing yourself.
Yep.
So then you start thinking, well, maybe I haven't lived too good a life and I'm not going to be here forever.
Right. That's one advantage that aging can have for us if we use it correctly. We see we're not as capable as we used to be, and that can bring us to the place where we more readily understand that we need the Lord, because physically things aren't going to get too much better for us. Thank you for that. Anybody else on number two? Yeah, Jeff.
I tend to want to say the prodigal son type. I mean, not the prodigal son, but the elder brother, but when I really think about it, I find some people so lost in sin they have a really hard time doing anything to help themselves out of it. They see their pitiful state, and they find it difficult to take that first step. And I see it on the other side, too. And that's people are so... They enjoy their life so much that they really don't want to do anything else, and they have a hard time taking that step. But when it comes to actually... I found both when you can actually get them to read a text, answer a question. Some of the things that you were talking about, get them to ask a question or make a statement about their belief system and then have them compare that with the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to me like it's equal in my experience as far as seeing how those people come around to obey the gospel. It's very similar in my estimation. I don't find that those that are steeped in sin find it really much harder than those that are not.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to overcome some things in order to humble themselves and let the Lord work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
We tend to want to grab one or the other, at least I do. But
it's a very personal question. I think some of us would respond differently than others to this. But it's an interesting insight into yourself, how you answer it, and helps you maybe to evaluate some of the things that you can do evangelistically. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Other comments or questions on... Yeah, Barb.
I think with the elder brother type, sometimes you feel like you don't want to put them down because they feel like they're doing the right thing and they're
right.
Going to church or whatever, you know, so you don't want to hurt their feelings. But I guess that yesterday, a really good thing was, well, do you think everybody's going to heaven? Yeah, and then kind of start there.
Mm-hmm.
And
good. Yeah, I like that. Thank you. No, that's very true. It's the elder brother type, these are the people who, in their eyes at least, they're the ones that say, we have borne the burden and heat of the day, as we have in Matthew 20. These are the people that were up there early working all day long, as they view it. And they can be it can be a special category of people to talk with. Denny.
On a slightly different flavor, the elder brother type is about Muslim, where in their own eyes, you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, and then as Jeff was saying, we have to go back to inspired literature. They're going to want to take you to the Quran, but you can show that the Quran did not come from God. It's relatively easy to show that. Not relatively easy to convince them of that. That's not what I'm saying. But it's relatively easy to show that about the Quran, which is actually a hodgepodge that was put together much differently than the Bible and is far different from the Bible. You can have them both printed up, bound in black, and they look the same. But they're far different series of documents. And if somebody is interested who is a believer in the Quran, it's possible rather easily and systematically to show that the Quran did not come from God. However, the devout Muslim, as you're saying, is going to say, if you're not talking about it in Arabic, you're not talking about it at all. So, and that's another thing about the Bible. The Bible's been translated into thousands, literally thousands, of languages and dialect, and it works as the power of God into salvation in any one of those. But the Quran, according to the devout of that faith, has to be in Arabic, or it's not really going to do you any good. So there's one more difference there. And There are a lot of good materials that we can have in our time to equip ourselves to deal with the Islamic influence in our country. And that's very pertinent, very realistic. Yeah. Big issue in our time and place. And we're going to see more and more, I'm afraid, of what we've seen this last week. Ed.
And I think another thing that Jeff brought up this morning is we probably had both of these types in our audience this morning.
Yeah.
And, I can say from experience, I was in that category and set among you, and I wouldn't say it. So, be ready with the Word of God, like you were saying, and I think if we pray with these people, or pray to God for understanding and the best way to get in, at some level we probably can relate on both sides.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's important for us to encourage ourselves to take the risk. You might not do it perfectly, but it's good to say something. Calculate it, that's fine. Plan it, prepare it, but say something and give it your best shot. And then let the Lord work through that and do your best with it. Tom.
Yes, I just, if I remember, you used the statement about the verse about you love your enemies.
Right.
Instead of hating your enemies.
Jeff read that passage out of Matthew 5 this morning. Matthew 5, 43 through 48.
Are in war. I was sitting there thinking about that. That's awful tough, especially if you're in a position to kill or kill an equal.
Yeah. Jesus was referring there to personal enemies. These are the same kind of statements made about personal enemies. David did not even go against his enemy Saul. Saul made himself David's enemy. David wouldn't even kill him. He wouldn't raise his hand against the Lord's anointed. He cut off a piece of his robe a couple of times rather than touch him physically. But that's the same David who wrote, by inspiration, the imprecatory Psalms, like Psalm 69, Psalm 139, where he wishes ill to the Lord's enemies. So there's a difference between war and personal enemies. And that difference is regarded both Old Testament and New, I think.
I like the thing that happened in Boston. You said there's probably going to be more.
Yeah.
We need to pray for them and love our enemies, not hate them.
Right. Much is being made of the fact that those boys may not have done what they did because they were radical Muslims. However, we know they were Muslims. We know that they're terrorists. And we know that they did the same thing that radical Muslims have been doing all over the world for the past few years. So I don't think it's going to be real hard to get there. We know what websites they've been looking at, who they've been associating with. And okay, I hear you. Yeah. When I was their age, even 19, I thought I was a man. Yep, I hear you. Thank you, Donna. Appreciate that. Dave, go ahead.
Question 13.
Yes.
I think this question is a hard one for me, because when I make a decision, I want to carry through on it right then. I don't want to wait. And I get a little impatient.
Let me read this out loud. Jesus seems content to let the disciples hang around for months before asking them to make a decision about who he is. Why is it important not to pressure people too early about making a decision? Go ahead. Okay. Good.
This particular one,
yeah,
is very difficult for me, because once I've decided on a course of action, I don't want to carry it out. I don't want to wait. I don't want things to get in the way. And I have a problem with people that take their time.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. And this is such an interesting thing in the Gospels, that Jesus calls these men, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then we've got these 13 men going around, and it seems like 12 of them don't really have much to do. Jesus is teaching and healing, speaking. These other guys, they're just there. And they're supposed to be learning, just like a baby absorbs from everything that's around it within its range. Supposed to be soaking up like that, and to a certain extent they were. But his approach is different from what mine has been sometimes. I have put people on a track, and by now you should be ready to make a decision. Maybe they are or aren't. People are different. And I don't know the full answer to that question. That's one reason I put it on here. because it's a dilemma for me too. I'm very much goal-oriented and like to be at a certain place at a certain time. Jeff.
On the other side of that coin, there's been people that I've been associated with that have had others work with them, and then I got to come in after the fact with others that knew them. I was just kind of trailing along. And they said, why haven't you made a decision? They're like, nobody asked. And so there's that balance to have. That are we asking them to make a decision? Do they understand that's something they need to do?
Right.
Versus just waiting for them to hopefully come to that conclusion.
That's right. We do need to at least gently ask if they're ready to make this decision. Usually it's the decision to be immersed into Christ. I remember coming to that conclusion with one man way, way back, like 40 years ago when I was first starting in the work. And I said, well, it may be, I said this to myself, it may be that the thing holding him back is just that I haven't asked him flat out. And so, and I still remember we were in our old house that we used to live in Lee Summit. We were in the room upstairs that later became one of the children's room, but we didn't even have any children at this time. So that kind of pinpoints about when it was. And I just asked this young man, are you ready to be baptized into Christ tonight? And he said, yes. Well, I should have asked him sooner. But I guess I was just thinking that he'll tell me when he's ready. I learned that we do need to ask that question. If he has hesitation about it, he can make that known. And I don't want to pressure him. Sure don't want him to be immersed because I want him to be immersed. But I do want him to be immersed, and I need to give him the opportunity with a gentle question. Kind of like a car salesman that's trying to do the soft sell. Okay.
If you're a salesman, if you don't ask the question, you're not going to sell the product.
Yeah, that's true.
No, this isn't the product. This is your...
Right. This is the most important thing in the world. Jeff, go ahead.
It's important to help people realize it's their journey. It's not your goal. It's not... I mean, it kind of is. I mean, you want them to obey, but ultimately, it doesn't have anything to do with your eternal security.
Right. It's your soul, their soul.
You're simply trying to help them see the decision that God has before them, what God has done for them, and what they need to reflect on. And so, if we can approach people from the very beginning and have them realize that it's about them and their relationship with the Lord, and to the degree that they desire to pursue that, we're there to help.
Right.
Just like Jesus did with the woman. He asked her, I can't remember that, he asked her for a drink, and then she asked for living water. But he said he presented something to her to get her to think, do I want to know more? You kind of bait her kind of thing, and in a good way.
Right.
And so if we can help people realize it's about them.
Absolutely.
I'm not here to convert you to what I believe. I'm not here to get you to do what I do or go where I go.
Right.
I want you to know the Lord.
Exactly.
That is the revelation of God. Are you willing to look at it?
That's a good point.
To really help people want to receive what you've got to give. And I think on that decision end, when you get to the decision, it can be theirs. And there, it's kind of like the girl that gets married because all the preparations are there, but she's kind of, maybe I shouldn't get married.
Yeah.
But she does it anyway because everybody's coming.
Yeah.
So you don't want to build that up. If it's all about them the whole time,
right.
When it comes to decision time, it helps them to be able to say, it's really up to me.
Exactly. And the more we can think of ourselves and see ourselves as just facilitators of this process and get ourselves out of the way and just lend ourselves to this process, the better off we're probably going to be. Mike.
A very powerful question that you would ask anybody is, Rick, what do you need to see or hear from me in order to make a decision?
Good question.
You will tell me.
Good question. I bet you're good at your job. Good question. Thank you for that. You're making me want to invest over there right now. Sherry, go ahead.
Along with that, too, I think in the preparation and telling them, in Luke 14, he talks about counting the cost of what it costs to be a disciple. I think we make sure that we don't explain to people that it's not a matter of, you know, put your hand on the radio and say a prayer and you're saved. There's going to be things that they're going to be confronted with and they can't continue to live the old life that they live.
Right.
And are you willing to change?
Right. Count the cost. And keep pointing them back to the book. Yeah, Ed, is yours? Go ahead. We've kind of gotten away from what question we're on, but go ahead. We're about to run out of time, unfortunately, anyway.
I was looking at number 10.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about it.
We help our friends to feel free to ask us about God. And along with that, I've been in my neighborhood 7 years now, and I've not talked to one about it. So how do you change that? You've been here so long, and it just seems that if I'd done it the first week, it would have been made more sense.
Well, I don't think you have to tell them how long you've been there. Seriously. When I'm canvassing, I go to a door. I don't even tell them my name because my name means nothing to them. They're not going to remember it. So I just tell them what I'm doing or ask them a question, depending on what seems appropriate. But I don't think they care how long you've lived there. They know that you're at their door. They want to know what you want, and you've got a crack at them. So I think that's about as good as you can do. Yeah. Go ahead, Sherry.
I found out by accident that sometimes you can just say something. I went into my boss one morning and he was complaining about something, and I said, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, Shakespeare?
Shakespeare read it.
You know, if we are as easily can quote scripture,
yeah,
or say something that's pertinent to whatever's going on in the Bible,
yeah, we really are weirdly different from the world, or most of the world. So go ahead and be that, and you're letting something shine when you do, when you make those quotations. Jeff, go ahead.
It's really helpful to realize that God's been doing things in those people's lives long before you got there.
Sure.
You've been leading them to Him before, and you're just part of that process.
Right.
And so it's helpful to realize that you're not necessarily the one that gets it started, and you're also not the one that... If it doesn't happen with you, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but you can plant some seeds.
That takes some pressure off.
It does help you do that, and it also helps you stay away from pride, thinking, look what I've done.
Right.
Well, somebody else applied the crowd, I just got a water here.
Right. And I think in answer to number 10 on Ed's part there is, if we ask pertinent questions that help them to think and then discuss their responses with them, that may be about the best we can do in helping them to feel free to ask us about God. Just be available and let them know that we're available. Yeah, Sherry?
One last thing. You never know how it strikes people, but when they've got a trial in their life, you tell them you will pray for them, or you'll add their name to the prayer list in your congregation. A lot of times people, it opens the door in the sense that they may have never thought about you being religious, but when you say that one little phrase, it opens the door and shows that you care.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. I think many, many of the people around us know just a very limited number of people. They would be rather amazed at the number of people you know just by being in the church, because you not only know the people in the church, but you know a lot of their families, extended families, and you know people from elsewhere who visit you during meetings and all. A lot of people who don't have it. Many people, in their church experience, they go into a room with other people that they don't know and sit there for a while and then leave. It's a much different experience than you have. You're in the family of God. So just I remember one time we bought a piece of land from a man, and the wife of that family became ill, so we just sent her a get-well card. Like, you know, Lynn sends out hundreds or thousands of those through the years she has. Well, you'd have thought it was the strangest thing that had ever happened to them. I don't know if they never got a get-well card before or what, but she just was so grateful for that. Just went on and on effusively about what it meant to her to receive a get-well card. To us, it was nothing. But to her, it meant a lot. So I appreciate that point. Thank you. And I'm sorry. You can keep those sheets and discuss them at your leisure. But I wondered whether to do this afternoon, but I'm glad we did. I think it was appropriate and suitable to the occasion. We're going to conclude, since it's been an hour, by extending the Lord's invitation once again. We don't know the hearts of those who are present. We don't like to let any opportunity pass to extend the invitation just in case there might be someone here who needs to publicly bring something before the church. That can take many phases, as you know, but we, just because we're concluding, don't fail to understand that we have plenty of time to deal with your issue. If you'll tell us what it is as we stand together and sing the invitation number, come forward if we can help.